Race in America isn't just a topic of discussion, it's a lived reality that shapes every aspect of daily life. For people of color, race determines how they're treated in stores, workplaces, schools, and streets. It influences everything from healthcare outcomes to housing opportunities. The gap between white and non-white experiences isn't just a gap, it's a chasm deep enough to swallow entire solar systems. Race was invented to justify slavery and genocide, designating certain people as less than human. Though race has no scientific basis, it has become as real in our society as money, woven into every aspect of our lives. When we try to avoid these conversations, we perpetuate the very systems that cause harm. The promise that you will get more because they exist to get less permeates our politics, education, and infrastructure. Even in progressive movements, marginalized concerns are often treated as divisive distractions. At some point, staying silent becomes impossible. The accumulated weight of microaggressions, systemic barriers, and everyday indignities demands to be addressed. That moment when you can no longer laugh off racist jokes or politely ignore discrimination, that's when real conversation begins. How do we know when something is about race? Three fundamental rules can guide us. It's about race if a person of color thinks it is, if it disproportionately affects people of color, or if it fits into a broader pattern of events that disproportionately affect people of color. Being a person of color in a white-dominated society resembles an abusive relationship with constant gaslighting. Daily life brings subtle dismissals and small dehumanizations that accumulate, being followed in stores, having your name mispronounced, or being mistaken for service staff. When people of color speak up, others often focus only on the newest, smallest hurt while ignoring the broader pattern. Imagine being repeatedly punched in the arm by strangers. Even if some punches are accidental or minor, the cumulative effect creates real pain. When people of color identify racial dynamics, they're drawing on expertise from lived experience that white people lack. If we believe people's interpretations of their own experiences are valid, this must apply to people of color too. Racism isn't just personal prejudice. It's prejudice reinforced by systems of power. Without white supremacist systems, we'd just have people yelling at each other equally. But after 400 plus years of systemic oppression, the playing field remains dramatically uneven. If a black person uses a slur against a white person, they might ruin their day. If a white person sees a black person through a racist lens, they can potentially get them fired, arrested, or killed in a system that shares their view. This isn't about hurt feelings, it's about material consequences and physical safety. Viewing racism as merely any racial prejudice focuses on changing individual hearts rather than dismantling the system. The system operates whether we actively participate or not, and our passive acceptance makes us complicit. When confronting reverse racism claims, ask, what measurable impact will this have on your life, safety, or employment? This illustrates the difference between systemic racism and individual bigotry. You'll inevitably make mistakes in conversations about race, using outdated terminology, making unconscious assumptions, or speaking from unexamined privilege. But avoiding these conversations only perpetuates the problem. When you hurt someone, apologize sincerely and specifically. Say, "I'm sorry I said X. I understand why that was harmful," rather than, "I'm sorry if you were offended." Impact matters more than intent. While guilt is natural, don't let it paralyze you. Use it as motivation to improve. For white people, this discomfort pales compared to the constant burden of experiencing racism. Create different conversational spaces. White people need to challenge racism in their communities, while people of color need safe spaces to process experiences without the burden of educating others. These discussions will never be completely comfortable, but they become more manageable with practice. Words carry history, trauma, and generational pain. Nigger evolved from the Latin Niger, black, into a slur used to dehumanize black slaves, shouted during whippings, lynchings, and cross burnings. Not all words carry equal weight. Cracker doesn't invoke mass lynchings because white people haven't experienced systematic racial oppression. Throughout American history, words have been weaponized against people of color, from explicit slurs to coded language like ghetto, nappy, and thug. People of color have inherited the trauma of these words, while white people have inherited the privilege these words helped create. Even reclaimed words remain harmful when used by white people who still benefit from the systems these words built. Words only lose their power when their impact is no longer felt in society's structures. The unfairness isn't that people of color can use certain words that white people cannot, it's the centuries of oppression these words helped create. You can't get over something that's still happening. The school-to-prison pipeline disproportionately channels Black and Brown children from education into incarceration. Black students comprise just 16% of school populations, yet receive 31% of suspensions, 40% of expulsions, and 70% of school-based arrests, facing suspension rates 3.5 times higher than white peers. Research shows race influences disciplinary decisions, with Black and Brown children's behavior more frequently labeled problematic. The impacts are devastating. Suspended students are more likely to repeat grades or drop out, while those arrested at school face higher rates of future incarceration. The most profound loss is childhood itself. Black and Brown children aren't granted the same freedom to be energetic, expressive, or occasionally defiant, denied the grace to make typical childhood mistakes that others receive. We must act now, as lost innocence cannot be restored. Many hide from what they truly fear, action, by endlessly talking about race. From virtue signaling on social media to lengthy emails about feelings, people become addicted to saying the right things while missing the point. Words matter, but understanding without action accomplishes nothing. Concrete steps include voting locally, engaging with schools, witnessing when people of color are harassed, speaking up at work, supporting POC-owned businesses, boycotting predatory institutions, donating to racial justice organizations, supporting diverse art, pushing for police reform, demanding institutional diversity, and electing diverse representatives. When called racist, listen without defensiveness. Your intentions don't erase impact. Try to understand the harm caused, recognizing your perspective is limited. Nobody owes you a debate. Apologize sincerely if you recognize your error, and don't invalidate someone's pain even if you perceive a misunderstanding. In this system of white supremacy, you're either fighting it or complicit. There is no neutrality. The system seems overwhelming, but isn't insurmountable if we act together. We must talk about racism, but also act, because people are dying in this unjust system. The question isn't about your comfort with these conversations, it's whether you'll let comfort stand in the way of justice.